Joining us now, he's the farm director of the San Francisco Giants. We love talking ball with him. And it's Kyle Haynes. Kyle, how are you? Thanks for taking the time.
I'm great, Marty. How have you been? And I hope everyone's well. I'm excited to talk to you as well, as always.
Yeah, things are good. And, boy, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad to have you on because the alternate site, the alternate team site, is such a mystery to everybody because there's really no press there. And I thought maybe you could give us a little capsule of what a day is like for a typical player at the site in Sacramento. What do you guys do every day?
Yeah, it's we try to mix it up a little each day, but for kind of a rough outline, guys will show up to the stadium, Sutter Health Park here in Sacramento, and use the facility. But you know, as they show up, basically, they kind of show up and they'll eat their lunch here, you know, just to try to keep them from having to go out and eat lunch and stay safe. And then after they're done with lunch, we'll start with a lot of the individualization part of their day. That kind of starts the day off, whether it be individualized work in the cage or defense or base running or other areas of fundamentals more on the individual side. And we'll utilize the cage and the field or maybe even the weight room if that's what they need. And then from there, we'll kind of go through a team stretch, take them back together. We'll do as many team fundamentals as the weather allows us to do, the heat or smoke, I guess you could say, not necessarily, you know, rain or anything. That's a blessing. We don't have to deal with rain like a lot of teams, but we'll do as many team fundamentals with the after team stretch and play catch, and the pitchers are doing their throwing programs and such, and we'll bring all the team back together, including the pitchers, take them through a series of fundamentals. And then from there, most likely it'd be batting practice. And then if we have innings for a game, we'll continue into, you know, the game setting, so to speak, where the hitters face the pitchers. And that's just spotty. You know, some days it's anywhere from 3 to 5 innings sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's just the focus is on the workout, which has been a little bit of a blessing. But obviously we enjoy watching the kids playing the games, and that's where they really strive. So we try to do that as much as we can as well. So that's a quick synopsis.
Okay.
What those individual work are and fundamentals, those rotate every day so that way we don't get too bored here.
Well, let's talk about Steven Duggar. He's on the freeway every other day going back and forth. What does Steven Duggar have to do, Kyle? Because we've seen him, unfortunately, every time he sort of put something together, he got hurt. He's up here now. He's in the lineup today. What do you see with Duggar, and where is he in his development?
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's still got a lot more development left, and I think all of us believe that he's still, you know, his best days are still ahead of him. But I think I'm very comfortable saying it, totally my opinion only, I'm comfortable saying he's got a hit. He's a left-handed bat. We're hitting lefties. We're not hitting righties. He's a good defensive center fielder. We know that. Good outfielder at all three spots. He's a good base runner. As fans have seen, but he needs to hit, and he needs to hit right-handed pitching. He's got to be on base so he can use his speed. You know, we just need to see more of that from him. He's due to the injuries or other situations, he hadn't really got into a flow that he did there early in his career. But, you know, once hopefully he can get on a roll and gain some confidence, he has a chance to be a nice outfielder for a long time, or he has a chance to be driving back and forth between Sacramento and San Francisco for a long time. So, you know, it's kind of, I think what's going to separate whether he's in that lineup each and every day versus especially right-handers or driving back and forth between Sacramento and San Francisco is going to be, does he hit? You know, he's got to hit, and he's got to be a table setter for people behind him to drive him in.
Very well said. The interesting part for me is Slater. And, look, everyone thought he could hit. He hits the ball to right field. He's got to lift the ball some more. He's got to pull the ball some more. And he's had a fabulous season now. He's got the elbow. He's got the groin. But he steals bases. He's hitting with power. What was the breakthrough for Slater? What did you see, and did you see it coming, and what did he do to sort of get to this next level, which apparently he seems to be comfortable at?
Yeah, a perfect lead into Slater. He's a guy that kind of was in the same boat as kind of the Duggar situation as the right-hand hitter, where you know, he could hit lefties and play defense but in many spots, but he was shuttling back and forth. But it's been awesome to see him and his growth in the big leagues over the last couple of years, and now establish himself into the player that we all thought he was capable of becoming. He's made some swing adjustments on a, you know, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He's a guy. He's a very sharp, well-spoken guy, but he also is a very, very good self-evaluator. And he wasn't just happy being a major league player. He knew he needed to get better. He dug. We helped him, obviously, through some of our resources and things that we do. And, he bought in. He's worked really hard at making sure he's, better approach at the plate versus both righties and lefties, and he has less holes. So we think we saw a guy that really hit the ball well the other way as a younger guy, and now we're starting to see, him being able to, not lose that ability while still going to the pull side and being able to drive the ball as well. So, it's been a blessing, and Austin deserves a ton of credit there for not just being comfortable being a major league player. He really is driven to be a great major league player.
Yeah, Kyle Haynes with us, farm director of the Giants. What I like on the big club right now is the offense, obviously, 53 runs in 8 games. Well, it's what's not to like, and also hitting at Oracle Park. But there appears to be a plan. You've got a number of hitting coaches. Look, Longoria is hitting the ball much better, I think, than he's hit before. Belt is coming around a little bit. Crawford's starting to hit a little bit of a stride. What is going on? What I like about the Giants, I say, why do I think they could be better than Colorado or San Diego or Arizona? It seems like they have a plan, and it's killing lefties. They face a couple of tough righties here. But what is the coaching plan offensively? How would you describe it?
Well, I think, obviously – to your point, we've hit lefties really well. So we have guys that historically have hit lefties, but we're also hitting righties. And I think probably this is just totally my two cents. And that is, I think Longoria, Bell, Crawford, and even Buster, they've felt a lot of pressure to carry the team the last few years offensively. And, we kind of went however they led us. And now with Yaz and Solano and some of these guys really stepping up, and becoming guys that we can count on each and every day, that takes some burden off of Longoria and Crawford and Belt to have to carry the team. And now the lineup's just stretched so much deeper, where if one night it's Belt, the next night it can be Longoria. And if it's not either one of those guys, then you got a Yaz or a Solano who seems to be a threat in the lineup each and every night as well. So it's really taken a lot of pressure off the veteran guys. And I think you're seeing them play a lot freer, where they feel like, they're the whole fate of the team isn't on their shoulders.
Kyle, as I always kid you, were a legend in Richmond and on the East Coast. Yastrzemski was there for so long in that Orioles system, and he couldn't break through. You look at the stats that they just put out today, and it's like he's his grandfather. I mean, he's in every category, and it's incredible when you watch the games. What is it about this kid? What broke through for him, and what did you see in him that attracted you to Mike Yastrzemski? Because you must have seen him on the East Coast when he was with the Orioles in the farm system.
Yeah, he was. We saw him when he was in Bowie with the Orioles in AA. We don't match up in the AAA level, but on the AA level, he played in Bowie in the Eastern League with the Richmond Flying Squirrels. And I think everyone knew, it kind of goes back to the Duggar topic, where Yaz, he could play defense, he could run. He's a little more put together. Duggar's a little more gangly, but, Yaz was kind of similar to Duggar in a lot of ways, in which, they're good defenders who could run and they'd give you good at bats. And, if you weren't careful, they could beat you many different ways. But I don't think anyone expected to see, an MVP caliber offensive season ever come out of him. I think we probably felt like, we're getting a really nice, well-rounded ball player who plays well at Oracle Park, because that's what it takes to succeed, is a well-rounded ball player, and that's what he is. Mm-hmm. And, it just seems like once he came to AAA with us last year, I don't know, maybe it was coming to a new organization and I'd love to say that we really overcoached him and changed him or something, but we really didn't. I mean, I just think he felt very comfortable being a Giant from day one. And, he probably felt a little bit trapped, buried with the Orioles and didn't feel like he was going to get a shot. And when he got here, he really took off in Sacramento offensively and then carried that into San Francisco last year. So, I'd almost like to think it was a little bit of a psychological boost for him to feel what, he's got a fresh start with us and an open-minded front office who wanted to give him an opportunity. And now we're seeing, the defense, the base running, and just – you know, an offensive juggernaut up there.
Amazing. It's like it's a Justin Turner, it's a Max Muncy. I mean, this guy is legitimate. He hurts just about every pitcher that he faces. So it's been amazing. You guys released Yoelmer Sanchez this week. What was the theory for that? I know he didn't hit much, but I always love the hands. I love watching him play second base. What happened with him?
Yeah, Yoelmer was with us in Sacramento, and you know he had requested his release. You know, and honestly, he probably could have done it a long time ago. He not to get into contract details, but I'm sure somewhere in his contract, you know, he had opt outs where he could have opted out, and at some point on specific dates, being you know how much major league service time he has. You know, obviously he saw, you know, guys like Solano playing well and things of that nature, and realize that his, you know, path for himself is probably better off somewhere else. But Yoelmer, when he was here, he played great defense. He really helped us with coaching guys like Marco Luciano on the infield, Will Wilson, you know, and he was a true pro while here. And we got nothing but great things to say about Yoelmer Sanchez. He was a blessing to have around each day. He gave his best effort for a guy that won a Gold Glove and was in the alternate site, you know, this year after winning a Gold Glove last year. We got nothing but great things to say, and we wish him luck going forward.
Well, I liked watching him play in spring training. I enjoyed watching the hands, and you knew he was a good second baseman. A couple of names that people throw on the internet and on our show. Doval, Camilo Doval, what can you tell us about him, a pitcher?
Oh, yeah, Camilo Doval, right-handed reliever, kind of a low three-quarter arm action, but somehow he brings, you know, mid-90s or even better 90s, you know, cutters from that angle, actually. It's a really tough at-bat on right-handed hitters. He's got a usable slider, nice slider to go with it. That's the good. The tough part is he's still very raw baseball-wise. So you're going to see, you know, him dominate hitters and stretches, and you're going to see him kind of lose, you know, command here and there. And then just situational awareness, you know, still needs a lot of work. So that way, you know, the good outings, while they're great, trying to limit damage when things maybe go a little south, and he'll be a dominant right-handed reliever, hopefully for years to come. And we're working hard at, you know, making him more consistent. That way we're not seeing him running from the bullpen, and we're like, well, you're going to see either the best guy in the bullpen or the worst. You don't know which one you're getting.
Okay. No, that's Major League Baseball. You have to know what you're going to get when the guy goes out on the mound. A guy who I thought had a tremendous first part of the season, he's with you now. I imagine we'll see him soon, is Connor Menez.
Yeah. Yeah, Connor's done a nice job. Really seems like he took another step forward this year. You guys have seen him a lot in the big leagues. We've seen him, you know, throw a couple times here. And, you know, I think, you know, hopefully he's ready to take on a bigger role in that bullpen, because it seemed like he became kind of one of the more reliable guys down there. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about transitioning from starting to relieving, you know, for this year. But he's always gotten big swing and miss on the fastball, despite it not overwhelming velocity due to some deception and you know, his release point, et cetera. So, yeah, no, a lot of positives. A great guy, too. Great kid. Easy kid for everyone to root for.
Farhan said, of course, for the trade deadline's coming up the 31st, and there's a lot of interest in the Giants' pitchers. In baseball, you never can have enough pitching. There's a lot of injuries to pitchers all over the place, probably because of the short second spring training. But Farhan's, you know, maybe he'll – of course, you guys know this. You guys talk all the time. But maybe he'll make deals. Maybe he won't. But if he did make deals, he thought – he said this on the air the other day, that we probably would see some of the people from the alternate site, maybe some of the kids, at some point in September. Is that still, you think, a possibility?
Yeah, shoot, 2020, maybe. Everything's possible, it seems like. So,
really?
You know, I know a lot of people have asked, especially on the position player side. I, you know, personally think that probably the younger kids will be here the rest of the time on the position player side. I think, you know, probably the youth and fresh faces are probably going to come from the pitching side if they do come up. You know, I don't want to speak for Farhan on that,
sure.
But, you know, from the you know, the Wilson Lucianos and Baileys and Canarias and Ramoses, you know, Bishop Trevio, those guys are guys that, you know, really need to stay at the alternate site. Mm-hmm. You know, just the rest of the year, it would be really, it wouldn't even be aggressive. It would be, you know, borderline malicious to throw them into that scenario right now where they're at. A guy like Joey, he can handle, you know, the ups and downs. He's just more advanced to handle it. But on the pitching side, yeah, I think you could see a lot of these, you know, fresh faces come up, and a lot of people say, who is this guy coming up? And someone like a Camilo Duvall could be one of those guys where he comes out of nowhere and he's throwing 98-mile-an-hour cutters, and mm-hmm. our fan base is saying, where'd this guy come from?
Okay. Well, it's like Rico Garcia. Of course, he was in the big leagues, but there's always room for someone who can throw 98. Isn't that true?
I would hope so. So.
Yep, it's not commonplace, but for someone who can throw that. Well, it's great having you on, as always. It's really going to be interesting, the trade deadline. And I say this sort of in jest, but, you know, you have a sort of a nice farm system now. How many more do you need? I mean, if, you know, you move a few of the pitchers for more. How about Basabe? Is he there, the guy from the White Sox?
Yes, Basabe is here. He's a project, and he's doing a nice job. He actually hit a homer yesterday to lead off the game to dead center field from the left side, and once a former top 100 prospect just a couple years ago, and a lot of tools there. So we're working with him. He's still got a lot of room for growth, but he's got a high ceiling. It's been a good time here. We've got a lot of really good work done with guys like Basabe.
All right, good. Hey, Kyle, thanks for coming on, as always, and let's see what happens next Monday. I may be talking to you the following weekend, asking you how you're going to fit all these seven new guys in. So let's see what happens this week.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I know every time you see one of those trades, just think of me, because then I'm trying to shuttle them around here, and it's chaos for the minor league staff. So think about our PD staff when you see those things. But yeah, it'd be great to add some high-end talent, whether it's major league or minor league. And our job is just to give the major league team whatever they need. So we're ready to support them however we can.
Yeah, one name before you run away, Jelly. Farhan did mention him and Corey, that perhaps we could see them later on, even at the site, later on this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope to see him. I think the great thing, which, you know, the great thing about both those guys is they're incredibly hard workers, and you know, they're really self-starters, so we don't feel like we need to stare at them while they work. But you know, I think it'd be great to see them here, and I think the trade deadline, to your point, is going to be a big, you know, factor in the sure. how many more guys we can bring in, because you know, we only get this certain amount of spots here in the pool, and you really can't send anyone home at all. So I think if the trades open up some, or if there is, I don't even know if we will make trades, but if we made some trades or something happened where pool spots opened up, it'd be good to see them come in and get them a development window here.
Yeah, I know they talked about adding 15 more spots, but I don't think they did that, did they?
No, they did not. Nope.
No, that was part of the deal for the trades. Hey, Kyle, thanks so much. Stay safe up there in Sacramento, and I know there's a lot of smoke, but it's great to have you on and just hear some of these names, so I appreciate it.
No problem, Marty. Always a pleasure being on.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Kyle. All right, that is Kyle Haynes, farm director of the Giants up there at the alternate site in Sacramento. All right, more coming up right after this on the Sports Leader.